Scripture reading this morning is Luke 4, 14 through 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
You know what it means when a preacher sets his clock? Absolutely nothing. Do I not have it on right? Okay. Is it on now? Okay, thank you. Let me start over. Water Baron India had two large pots that he hung on a pole that he put around his neck, one on each side. And of the two pots, one was perfect. It was a large pot that contained water, while the other one had a crack and had a flaw in it. And as the water bearer would go down to the stream to pick up water every day for his master, he would fill the pots up. But by the time that he got back to the house, one was full and the other one was half empty. And that continued for quite a while, for 2 years. And the pot that was cracked seemed to think that it was a failure, because the water bearer was carrying water, but he was only able to do half a job. And so he felt very incomplete and inadequate in what he was doing, and he complained to the water bearer. He said, "I'm ashamed of myself because of the crack in my side. I make you work hard for only half the effort." And the water bearer said to the pot, "Did you notice that there were only flowers on your side of the path?" He said, "I was aware of your flaw all along, and that's why I planted flowers along the path. And as you were walking back every day, you were watering those flowers. I would go back and I would cut those flowers and give them to my master to grace his table. And because of your flaw, I was able to give beauty and grace to my master." We are all cracked pots. I say in our hope group, we're all recovering from something, because we are all broken. That's the nature of man. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for leading us and for using us in your service. For we are earthen vessels, but we have a treasure inside us, the living water. We are cracked pots, and any honor or praise that we receive goes to the treasure inside of us. Help us to realize that we were made to bring you honor and glory. Thank you, Lord, for allowing Kathy and I to touch the lives of many, and for many to touch our lives as we've worked in your service. Thank you for the indwelling of the Spirit that we receive as a promise when we die to self and are born again. The Spirit that leads us and protects us and guides us and convicts us of sin when we get off path. Father, bless my words this morning and the hearers of that word. My lesson this morning is about being led by the Spirit. You know, one thing about being led by the Spirit is you really don't know where you're going. You know, it's kind of like a flashlight. I've had a lot of people who come out of addiction, and they'll ask me, you know, we talk about surrendering the will of God, and they'll ask me, what is God's will for my life? And the way that I like to illustrate that more than any other way is illustrate it through a flashlight. You know, when you turn on a flashlight and you shine it out there, you try to figure out what God's will for your life is. It just gets lost in the darkness. You don't see it. You don't know what it's going to be. But if you'll take that flashlight and you'll put it right down in front of you and you take one step at a time, the flashlight will illuminate what the next step looks like. And so all we have to do to be led by the Spirit is take our life one step at a time, living within the will of God. Today, Kathy and I are stepping down from a position as local missions minister after serving here at Southside for a little over 20 years. Is that because I'm stepping down? What a great honor. Before I start, though, I want to thank my wife, Kathy. Amen. My best friend, my partner in ministry. And for many of you, it's one name, Dan and Kathy. And we kind of have a unique relationship. We're together 24/7. And she still accepts me. Can you imagine that? Amen. Amen. And the love of my life. But we've gone where the Spirit has led us. And it's led us on quite a path. And I'll be explaining that probably more than I should, but there's a point here. And we started, as we started in ministry, we started working with the deaf. After working with the deaf for 5 years in a congregation in Kansas, we felt that the Lord was leading us to go to Sunset, to prepare ourselves so that we in ministry could serve the deaf. We got to Southside, and at the end of our, I mean, we got to Sunset, and at the end of our stay there, God closed the door, and He opened another one. And we ended up in Quito, Ecuador, on the mission field, a place where we had really not planned on going, in a work that we didn't plan on being part of. But then God called us back to the States 5 years after we were there. We spent some time in hospice care and ended up in Bryan, Texas. Took a job as an associate minister with emphasis in youth. Served there for 4 years, and then we felt like it was a time to change. Brian was Texas at Central. There was wanting to go more into full-time ministry. At 46 years of age, I was wanting to kind of phase out of that. But Southside had a job opening, and it was for associate minister with an emphasis in youth. But it was curious, and so we decided to come. We decided to come and try out for the job. We made it to the top three and received a letter from Southside that said,
there was another candidate that was a stronger interest in youth, and we've decided to go with him. But if for some reason you don't find a job and the opening comes back up, please consider us. You see, I wasn't Southside's first choice. But to be honest with you, Southside wasn't my first choice either. But they called me back, and we came back, and one thing that I noticed is that this congregation was moving towards ministry. You see, the reason that I wasn't really excited about youth work is because that wasn't where my heart was. I've been a missionary at heart. And when I wrote the cover letter, I told them I wasn't looking for a job, I was looking for a mission. And as I was here, I noticed that they had started to work with First Choice across the street, Mentors for Mom. It was just getting off the ground. It was exciting. I saw them having a pantry program, and at that time they were serving our neighbors twice a week. I saw an active youth that was on fire for the Lord. I saw many things that I really enjoyed, and Kyle Kaiser came up to me and asked me a question: what can we do to get you to come? I heard in that, we want you to be part of our team as we reach out to our community. And so we came. A year and a half after we got here, the elders, having this desire for mission and seeing where we were, they asked me about, well, what happened was we had a mission emphasis week. In that mission emphasis week, at the end of that mission emphasis week, one of the elders came up to me and said, you know, we spend a lot of money training men to go overseas and sending their families overseas, but we're right here in the middle of a mission field. How would you like to be a missionary to Fort Worth? Well, the spirit inside me tingled when that said that. You know, God, I couldn't hardly contain the excitement that I had at that moment. And here's what my job description is being. Again, this is a displaced missionary. It says, local missions minister for Southside has a responsibility primarily in two areas. He's to minister to the local church body as a missionary in a foreign place would do. This staff position will require approaching our local area as a mission field. And just to summarize, the second part was to encourage the deacons and the ministry leaders to help them catch that same kind of vision. Wow. This was the reason that we were called to Southside, and not realizing that. You know, later on, and I'm throwing this in here because this just shows you where we are at Southside here. At one time, I was the only member on the staff. And we invited Steve Clower to come and be part of this mission effort here at Southside because Steve had a mission spirit himself. And he was going to bring with him, and he did, this sense of mission, that mission, mercy, and transformation, that's what God is about within this congregation. And our elders are still pushing towards that. And what I want to do this morning is I want us to see that the Spirit of God will lead you where you thought you would never go and give you gifts you thought you'd never have. That takes me to my favorite verse that was read here is in Luke 4, 18 through 19, where Jesus came to preach the good news to the poor, to the captive, to the blind, to the oppressed. He came for the broken, cracked pots of the world. Cracked pots, not crackpots. But I think it came for both. And it says, in order for him to do that, Philippians chapter 2 tells us, though he were a son, yet he didn't think equality with God was something to be held on to. And he gave that up and he came in human form so that he could be a sacrifice for us. He emptied himself out of his divine nature. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. You know, Jesus' ministry started when he was 30 years old. Luke chapter 3 says that he received the Holy Spirit came upon him when he was baptized. It said that he was full of the Spirit, and then he was led by the Spirit into temptation. He proved that he was without sin. And so therefore, he left that temptation. He left that place of temptation full of the Holy Spirit. That is important for us to understand because Jesus was as human as you and I are, 100%. And the things that Jesus did, he did because he was sinless. I would like to read John chapter 3, verses 34 and 30 through 36. Actually, I don't have that whole thing there. You can read it later. But it says, "For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure." You see, Jesus had the Spirit without measure. There was no limit of what the Spirit could do through Jesus because he had no sin. That's important for us to understand because even though we have the Spirit, we're limited. And we're limited because of our human nature. It keeps us from having that full measure of sin. But Jesus had that without measure. The question might come to you, how do we get this power? How do we increase that power in our life? And we receive that power, first of all, when it says in Acts chapter 2, Peter talks about how this Jesus whom you crucified, God made both Lord and Christ. And when they were pricked in their hearts, they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This promise is to you, to your children, to your children's children, and those that are far off, or whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, when we're born again, God gives us that gift of the Holy Spirit. That is our spiritual connection back with God. It is our guarantee and earnest of our inheritance that we come. And it even says within that for whoever is led by the Spirit are children of God. We are to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. How do we increase that power? Well, let me give you three applications for the lesson this morning. For the first of those lessons, I'm looking at the next slide. There it is. There it is. Three applications from our lesson this morning that will help us to increase the power in life is to trust God, clean house, and serve God. Or another way of saying that is to surrender, sanctification, and service. These are the three areas that help us to increase that power in our life. The more we trust God, the more power we're going to have in our life. The word trust has a deeper meaning in Greek than it does in English. Trust is a word that includes the idea of belief, obedience, and faith. As we die to the old nature, God gives us that spirit within us. And the more we surrender, the more power we're going to have in our life. Allowing God to control all areas of our life is very important. And it says in Hebrews 5:8, even though he were a son, yet he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. You see, Jesus trusted God, and that was part of that full power that he had. He was able to fully trust his life into God's hands. He said, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands, and with that, he gave up his last breath. You see, our human tendency within pressure is to trust in things that are not God. When we get stressed, when worry and anxiety is coming into our life, instead of hitting our knees in prayer, we may reach for drugs or alcohol. In marital problems or stagnation in our marriage, we may reach for the idol of comfort or affirmation from someone who's not our spouse. In pressures, when we reach out to pornography, binge eating. And in times of stress and suffering, we limit God by not trusting fully on Him. And it's important that we make consistent effort to trust God, and when sin and temptation comes, that we flee that. You know, even as Christians, sometimes we just don't trust God as much as we should. The more trust we have in our life, the more power we're going to have. The second one is to clean house. Sanctification comes when God cleans us, when he cleanses us with his blood within the new birth process. But also, it says in Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45, I love this illustration. It's about the man who swept his house clean. But the problem was, the evil spirit came back and found the house clean but empty. And so it came back seven times worse. So Ephesians 5, I'm going to tie all this in together. Ephesians 5 tells us, it says, don't be drunk on wine because that'll ruin your life, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. So when we clean our house, we need to make sure that we're filling our house with the Spirit of God, and we allow Him to lead us into places we thought we would never go, and giving us gifts we never thought we would have. And as a constant in that, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And there's a process of discipleship that's taking place as we clean house. We're putting off the old and we're putting on the new. We're taking our old character defects and we're putting on the character of Christ. We're clothing ourselves in that character and becoming more like Him. The more we become like Jesus, the more power we have in our life. If you're feeling a connection with God that's not going where it needs to go, it's because you need to hold on to God more and to allow Him to change you and and be there. Number three, the serving God and serving others. You know, we must put on a towel. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. But he came to serve us and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, serving others gives us power because it takes the focus off of ourselves and puts it on other people. When we can think about other people and helping them, it seems that our problems and trials get less. And so one of the greatest things we can do is to use that giftedness that God has for each of us to use. The best exercise for the heart is reaching out to someone else. God has given us gifts so that we can serve other people. Being led by the Spirit is led in every area of your life. You know, one of the things that really excited my heart is, well, before I get to that, there's one thing I wanted to say. I want to challenge you. As we're talking about serving others and service, if I would have said to my mentor in faith who came up to me and said, I would like for you and Kathy to take over this deaf ministry in 1 year. If I would have said to him, I don't know how to sign. I don't even know deaf people. What makes you think that I would be able to do that? You know, I don't have that gift. Can't you find someone else to do that? You know, that's sometimes the way that we feel inside. But saying, if that's what the Spirit is leading me to do, that's what I'll do. Okay, so I do that, and everything's going the way I want it to, and now he changes direction in my life. Oh, Lord, I don't want to do that. What I'm saying in that is, if I would have ever been stubborn to following the will of God, I would not be here today. And what a great life I would have missed simply by saying, I don't have that gift. God gives you the gift. It's not by power or strength, says the Lord, but my Spirit. It is God's Spirit that will lead us to places we thought we would never go and give us gifts to do things that we would never do. In conclusion, now I'll get back to that point I was going to think about. One time that my soul was really stirred was at our deacon meeting just the other day where we had, when I got to hear the excitement of the different deacons and ministry leaders as they talked about how God was working in their area. As I heard one man say, and I'm purposely not using names, okay, because when you do that, you got to say everybody's name. But I heard one man make the statement is, talking about Children's Hope and talking about some of the things that we were doing, is this is in our DNA, that to reach out to other people and to share gospel and to have that spirit of mission, that's who we are at Southside. And what I'd like to have us know today is, as long as we're keeping our eyes focused on what God is doing in his mission and being part of that mission, God is going to bless us. When we get our eyes and we start focusing inward, we're going to be in trouble. So my encouragement for each of us today is that we allow God's Spirit to lead us and guide us, and we never say, I can't do that, because God can. God can, and He is able. In order for us to find peace of God and experience that full power, we must turn it over and allow the Spirit to have free reign in our life. As we close today, there are three choices the way I see it. We can be with God, which is hot, and let God work through our lives. Or we can be cold. We can decide, I'm not going to let God in. I'm listening to this, and I've never given my life to Christ, and I'm just not going to do it. That's cold. Lukewarm is one that says, well, I'm going to be a Christian, but I'm also going to not fully trust in God. I'm going to continue to do some of the things I know that are taking and draining power out of my life. I'm going to continue doing that. That's lukewarm. And brothers and sisters, that is miserable. And you will never experience the peace of God in cold or lukewarm. If you want to experience the peace of God and produce that fruit in your life, you're going to have to give yourself fully, 100%, totally to God, surrender to Him. And then you will experience love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Those come as you allow the Spirit to produce its fruit in your life. You cannot attain those any other way. And since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. If you're here today and you've been cold and you need to come over to hot, or if you're lukewarm and you have not, and you're struggling, you don't have to keep doing that. You can surrender your life, you can trust God, clean house, and serve others. If in any way you need that today, if you're hearing what I'm saying and you're feeling a nudge right now, that's the Holy Spirit. And I ask you, I implore you, do not ignore the Spirit. Please allow the Spirit to lead you to places you thought you'd never go and give you gifts you thought you'd never have. If we can help you have that this morning, would you come as together we stand and sing?